And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
Hey, what's going on? Welcome to the Raptors Reasonablest podcast here at The Athletic. I'm your host, Blake Murphy. Not joining me once again is Eric Kareen. Nice little run of no Eric Kareen on the podcast. Joining me instead, really excited to welcome Dallas Green of Alexis on Fire and City in Color. Dallas, how's it going, man?
I am doing great. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, no, I'm psyched to have you on and talk some Raptors and talk about your Raptor fandom and give you a break from, the stuff you were mentioning off air. Just talk ball for half hour.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you.
How's everything been going this last little bit for you? I know you've been up north a little bit, but, over the last 7 months, however long it's been, I assume life's been as odd for you as it has been for everyone else.
Yeah, it's been, I've been really trying to like just find the positives in the whole thing, because I feel like I've spent a lot of my life sort of celebrating the negative, and I wouldn't say that I'm the most optimistic person in general. So I think with something like this, it has really just sort of made me just try to find silver linings and things. And so I've been enjoying being able to be home. This is the longest I've been home in a row in probably almost 20 years. So that's been nice, trying to go see my family a little bit more. And, I've been writing here and there, but, I've never really been good at forcing creativity. So that hasn't been something I've been like, okay, here, I have all this free time. Let me go write a bunch of songs. Like I've been so stuck in the cycle of making a record and then touring for about 2 years and then coming off and kind of putting all my ideas together and sort of working that way. So this has been kind of if I remove the existential dread of the future and all my friends and family worrying about them being sick and all of that stuff and just sort of put that aside for a minute, then I've been enjoying myself. If that makes any sense.
It sure does. And okay. I'm, trying to take a similar perspective with it. And for a little bit there, we got basketball back, which at least was a nice distraction for me and something to keep focused on. I guess this would have been the first time in some time you were in one place and able to like watch the games regularly without, being exhausted from the studio or being on the road and trying to find a stream and stuff like that.
Yeah, that was actually great. And as I'm sure you... I mean, we talked a little bit about it. I just thought the bubble ball was awesome. Like those guys, I give all of those players and coaching staffs and everybody that was in there credit, because, I know all the people are like, well, they get paid millions of dollars. Yeah, great. But that doesn't mean you can just stay sane in at Disney World for 3 months.
Yeah, away from your family and with everything that's going on in the United States and here in Canada.
Exactly.
On the social justice front. Yeah, it's a testament to those guys and the men and women that made it all happen. And yeah, I'm with you. I thought the quality of basketball after those first couple games was through the roof. And I know some people were concerned about, would the playoffs be good? Would they be entertaining? Would they be... a lower quality, but I certainly didn't experience that. Jimmy Butler saw to it single-handedly that we got a good playoff run.
Man, how many people are going to want to go play in Miami now?
Yeah, I mean, they always had market factors. Miami's not the worst place to be, and the low taxes and Pat Riley and all that. But man, you can I think what Jimmy Butler showed is he's a bad teammate if maybe I don't know if we can conclude that, but if you're not the type of teammate that wants to meet his level of competitiveness and effort, maybe that's not going to be a good relationship. But if you are, that's a guy to go to war with, as they say. That was a really impressive playoff run.
It almost feels like he's a bad teammate if you're a bad teammate.
Yes. Yes, exactly. If you don't want to be in the gym at 4 a.m. slamming Jimmy's Big Face Coffee to give you the juice for those morning workouts, then get out of there. That was great. We're going to talk about the Raptors, though. I want to, before we talk about anything in the bubble or this coming offseason, I want to rewind a little bit to the season prior. You have obviously been a Raptors fan for a long time, and you mentioned off the top you're not always an optimist, but you did pick Raptors in six in the finals beforehand, did you not?
Yes, I did.
Amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I've never been too pessimistic about the Raptors, though. That's the thing. Like, I think you can finish your, if you have more of a question.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I think because I grew up a basketball fan, like basketball was the sport I played when I was, you know, 8, 9 years old. Like, I played baseball a little bit when I was young, but my dad got me into basketball really young, and we weren't a hockey family, so I wasn't on the ice or anything like that. I was enamored by basketball. So I think being one of those kids from that early 90s era of loving basketball, not being able to really access it as much as I would want to, and having a bunch of friends in high school that were all huge basketball nerds, I think I've always just been so thankful that we have a team to root for. You know, now obviously there was been a lot of years where they were really bad, and but to me, I was just stoked that the Canadian sports stations were covering a basketball team. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so, for sure.
So then, through all like the dark years, I was just like, whatever, I get to root for a team in the NBA. And then when we started getting good, about, you know, 7, 8 years ago, it was like I was dumbfounded that I was rooting for a playoff team. You know, so it was never like, of course I was disappointed in those years where we were getting beat by LeBron, but I was like, well, everybody's getting beat by LeBron. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I think the thing that would always bother me were the new fans that didn't understand what basketball was or understood what that franchise has been through to become a perennial playoff team. You know what I mean? Like, I'm still getting in fights with people about Pascal's performance. You know, like, they're like, he let us down. I'm like, did he? Or has he, like, completely blown us away for 4 years and done way more than we could have ever asked for from a guy that we never even really thought was going to be anything?
Yeah, imagine 5, 10 years ago telling Raptors fans, hey, you're going to have the 27th overall pick, and within 4 years you're going to be in the second round of the playoffs going to game 7 with him as your top, as your number one or number two guy. Imagine how crazy that would have sounded 5, 10 years ago.
Exactly, right. And it's like, you think he's been playing basketball for like 8 years. You know what I mean? And I don't know. So it just, things like that. So I was just, last year I was, but obviously last year was like, okay, after we figured out what we were getting out of Kawhi, right? Because when the trade happened, I was in the camp. I was pretty bummed about the trade. We didn't know what we were getting out of Kawhi, right? We didn't know if we were getting this drama queen who had just, you know, taken San Antonio and sort of put them through the ringer. And now the guy who plays guitar in my band, City in Color, Dante, is from San Antonio, a lifelong Spurs fan. So there was also, like, I lived through that Spurs year with Kawhi very closely with him, because he was dealing with, like, him not playing and that. And so when the trade happened, I was like, wow, this is a real, like, what if we get him, or what if he doesn't show up? But once he started playing and we were like, okay, we're good. And we're also really good without him. That's when I kind of was like, it's anybody's shot, really, out of the East. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, the East was wide open. And then you look at the Warriors, and obviously, you know, when we entered the finals, we were getting told, at least by people around the Warriors, that Kevin Durant might be back at some point. And you obviously can't predict, you know, the injury Klay Thompson suffered. But I thought heading in, I think I picked Warriors in 7, maybe Warriors in 6. I can't really remember now. But yeah, good on you for Raps in 6. And you, I know you've talked about this before. You were on Tim and Sid, I think, ahead of Game 5. But you kind of, you know, you were in Europe touring and trying to find ways to watch games and even make it back for Game 5, right?
Yeah, I actually went to Game 2 and Game 5 because I... So we flew to, Alexis flew to London the night of game one, because it was insane. Like, we booked this 2-week run of Alexis shows like in September of 2018 or something, right? Because, you know, you book shows are quite a far in advance. So, you know, about a month before the finals got announced, I was just like, what are the chances going to be that the Raps make it? And then like a couple weeks later, like they were still going, and then they announced the dates of the finals. And I was like, wow, it's literally the 2 week window that we're touring. So the night of game one, we were flying to London. So I watched the first half at Pearson and then had to get on the flight. And I just like got the plane internet and just refreshed my phone for about 5 hours. So I missed the second half of that. And then we played the next night. But because of the time difference, I flew straight home and went from the airport straight to game two, which they lost, obviously. And then the next day I had to fly to New York. So we played two nights in New York. So I watched them win. Did they lose game three, right? They lost game three and then – or no, they won game three and won game four.
Yes,
so
they won everything in gold in Oakland.
Right. So I watched the on a laptop in the dressing room of the venue we were playing in New York. And so after the New York shows, everybody was supposed to fly from New York to Los Angeles because we had two shows to play in Los Angeles, but we had 3 days in between. So I basically looked at my tour manager Juice and said, are we flying home to Toronto like tomorrow morning to go to game five? Cause if they're going to win tomorrow in Toronto, I have to be there. Like, so everybody flew to LA and I flew home to Toronto to go to game five and then they lost. Which was like very disappointing, right? Because there was that last 2 minutes where I was like, oh my God, it's happening. I'm about to watch it. And then the Splash Brothers just tore my heart out.
Yeah. And the Draymond thumb on the Lowry potential winner. And
yeah. And then, so then I flew to LA the next day and we were in the basement of the venue in LA. And I was like, we were 5 minutes away from going on stage and I watched them win. And then walked out on stage wearing a Freddie Van Fleet shirt and a Toronto Raptors hat and played my best show of my life, I think.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Man, I can't believe you did that much flying. I guess, you know, I guess maybe you have an appreciation now for what it's like being, well, you obviously, you know, touring around on concert is probably the closest thing to a professional athlete schedule as it is, but
yeah.
The wear and tear and the sleep deprivation and everything from flying around that much during the NBA finals.
Yeah. Well, the thing is like you kind of just nailed it. Like I'm so used to that living like that,
mm-hmm.
that it really wasn't like adding a couple more flights into earlier flights was not like, I wasn't concerned about that because I was sort of looking at it like, this could be the only time I ever get to see my team play in the finals. Like not being pessimistic, just sort of being like, you never know. We never know. I don't think I ever assumed that they would ever make the finals.
Yeah. I mean, you think if time is infinite or the NBA is infinite, eventually they will.
Sure,
but, right. You know, we don't know that. Look at what happened this season. We don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know how certain anything is.
Exactly. So I just had to be able to like go to a couple of games. Like if I wasn't touring, I would have gone to every game, but
right.
You know, but I did get to, I got to see a bunch of really great games in that run. I was at the game where Kawhi hit the shot versus Philly, which was incredible to be there for that. I got to see the double overtime victory against Milwaukee. I was there at game six when they beat the Bucks to go to the finals. So like I got to see a lot of really wonderful moments. So it was, it made up for all the crappy moments I've seen over the year.
Are you a season ticket holder then?
No, because I haven't had a long enough stretch at home during a season. Right. to make it worthwhile. So I usually just sort of like my good friend Joel, who's my longtime manager and good friend. He has like our label has season tickets.
Okay.
So if I'm home, I'll usually like kind of grab one of those, or I've got a couple of pals at MLSC, and that will like kind of help me get tickets if I'm like asking last minute and stuff like that. So
nice. Well, I'm glad you got to go. I mean, I thought that those two Milwaukee games were, obviously the finals being the finals, like it was very cool that I got to be there in Oakland for game six. And that was only like the third playoff series I'd ever traveled for, because I did the year that they went to the conference finals against Cleveland, I was like freelancing full time. So I didn't go for much. And then a colleague, Alex Wong, and I actually took a Greyhound to Cleveland to try to cover the Cleveland parts of that series. And then the first two rounds last year, Orlando and Philly, only my colleague Eric Kareen at The Athletic traveled. And then for the last two rounds, both of us traveled. So that was my first taste of like doing the back and forth for a whole playoff series. And I thought I would be tired, but then the team you're covering wins a championship and you just don't sleep for like 2 days and
yeah,
you don't
fine.
Even realize it.
Yeah, you're totally fine. You're just on cloud nine, really.
Yeah. So in the aftermath of the Raptors championship, you integrated some of that beyond just wearing the Fred shirt and the Raptors hat on stage in LA. You had some shows at Budweiser Stage here in Toronto in June, and the Raptor himself came out and introduced you guys. How cool was that, and how did that come about?
Well, so I've got a good buddy who, he's been at MLSC forever. Like he literally started in the mailroom kind of thing and has worked his way up for 20 years. And so he's pretty high up in the ranks at this point, but he's a good friend now. And, I just sort of not really thinking that it would be a possibility. I just sent him a message and I was like, what are the chances that I could have the Raptor come in? Like, you know, we're playing two nights at the Bud Stage. And the other thing about the Bud Stage shows was if there had been a game seven, it would have been on the night, night two of our shows at the Bud Stage. So I was like, I'd already told everybody, I was like, if game seven is happening, I'm not going on until it's over. Like and it would have been in Toronto too. So I would have been probably at the, I was like, we're going to pay whatever fine we get. Like I'm not playing until the game's over.
And then imagine trying to get, if they won game seven in Toronto, trying to get from Scotiabank Arena to Budweiser Stage after.
Yeah.
And like that game would have started at 8 or 8:30. So like,
exactly. Yeah. Again, amazing problems to have.
Yes,
right?
Of course.
You know, my team's in the championship in the finals and I'm about to play a show at the Bud Stage and I'm like, no, you know, but it was funny because when we were in the basement of the venue in LA, But before game six, we literally had to have a meeting with like the promoters, like to go over a plan for if there was a game seven, because we were also like, the whole city's going to be watching this. Like, are we really going to try and do a show for, you know, whatever the Bud Stage holds, and specifically for what you were just talking about, like traffic and all that stuff. And I remember I looked at everybody and I said, we're not going to have this meeting because the Raptors are going to win the game. And they did. But, so anyways, I messaged my friend Jeff and I was like, what are the chances I could get the Raptor to come, you know, come and like introduce us or just like, you know, come out and run on stage, whatever. And he was like, yeah, no problem. So my buddy Juice, again, who's sort of like, he's a huge sports fan too with me. So we're always like trying to include as much sports as we can into our, into what we do. We were sound checking for that first show at Bud Stage, and he comes up to me while we're sound checking and he goes, I'm on the phone with the Raptor right now. So he came, and it's the same guy, if you can believe it. It's the same guy who's been the Raptor the whole time. That's crazy, right?
Yeah, and like it's been, he's so elusive where like I know it's like a kind of a white whale story for my colleague Eric Kareen to like get inside the Raptor, like the guy who plays the Raptor. And I think Zach Lowe is the only person he's ever like really talked to officially.
Yeah. Well, so he's a great dude.
Sounds like it from everything I've heard, but
so yeah,
he's off limits to me.
Yeah. Well, he showed up and you know, had the whole costume in a backpack basically, in this like custom backpack that carries it. And he was funny. He was telling us that he's got a bunch of them. And because MLSC had him like, plan to go all over the place the next day, because the next day was the parade. So he was like, I've got suits stashed all over the city. And I was like, okay. So yeah, he just he suited up, and then we come out to this. If you've ever seen the movie Last of the Mohicans, it's a very dramatic period piece starring Daniel Day-Lewis. Well, the themes, like the epic, the music to that movie is one of, to me, the most epic like thing ever. So that's like our intro music. You know, I got that idea because when I saw Quicksand play when I was about 17 years old, they came out to the Conan the Barbarian theme, and I just thought it was the coolest thing. So we started our intro music, and then the raptor ran out, and it was just like, I think everybody was kind of shocked that was happening. So,
looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
You also did that Alexis on Fire Raptors mashup shirt, which is like now my favorite band shirt. Who designed that? Like, what went into that? Was that something you already had in your head of like, oh, our logo could mix well with the Raptors logo?
No, it just sort of was like one of those things. It just sort of, it was like somebody said it as, not as a joke, but just in passing, because we always do like a hard skull t-shirt. And then I think somebody saw like a wrap shirt where it was just like the red ball with the claw mark through it and was like, you guys should do this and that. And it was like, oh my God, like exactly, we should absolutely do that. You know what I mean? So Juice also like does all the merch as well. So he just like quickly sent a bunch of emails and got a whole bunch printed. And then I texted my buddy Jeff and was like, hey, by the way, is it okay that we're doing this? And he was like, yeah, nothing matters right now. Like everybody's just so stoked. So
yeah,
we did that. I think did I get you one? I got you.
You did.
One.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. So, I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah. No problem.
Through Steve, it got back to me. So,
yeah, no problem.
Because yeah, I was full post-championship. Couldn't, you know, normally my off seasons are just going to shows. And I can't remember what it was that night. It might have just been because the parade was the next morning. But I couldn't make it.
It's funny that like I have such good memories of that day because like, you know, I'd just flown home from LA. They'd won. I watched the whole game. I watched the whole game when I got home because I had taped it. So I got to watch like Matt and Jack's call because in the States I was listening to the, you know, whatever at the ABC broadcast and it was brutal. So I rewatched the game and then I woke up to drive down to go to soundcheck. I made the driver pull over to Real Sports. I ran in and I bought a bunch of championship gear. And then awesome. I got to the Bud stage and I handed it out to all the boys. And then while we were soundchecking, we were playing all the post game speeches through the PA at the Bud stage.
Nice.
So like I'll text you. I have a video of us playing Freddie's because I thought Freddie's speech afterwards was just so incredible. You know, the speech where he's like, you know, we don't have anybody that's part of the big boy club, maybe just Kawhi. And he's like, you know, we got a bunch of guys who had to get it out the mud and all that stuff. And it's just such a good speech. And so I was just blasting that full volume through the Budweiser stage PA. It was great.
You mentioned one when you do City and Color shows. Dante is from Dante was his name?
Yeah, Dante.
San Antonio. So you also, when you did a City and Color show at Scotiabank Arena in November, you got them to lower the banner so you could re-raise it. How did he feel about that? Like, you know, a Spurs fan having to watch you celebrate a Kawhi championship in person like that.
You know, obviously that was a sore spot, but but for him, like him knowing, like, it's funny, like, you know, we grew up in different parts of North America, but we're pretty much the same person. Like we're born 3 months apart. We both love basketball. So he's been playing with me for the last like 8 years. So he's watched me be a Raptors fan for 8 years. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I've watched him be a Spurs fan for 8 years, which is much different. So I think he was just happy that we got one. You know what I mean?
For sure.
Like obviously the Kawhi thing's very, very, still a very sore spot, but you know, I remember a couple of years ago when we had just played at Bonnaroo and we left to go to a bar to watch the Spurs beat the Heat to win their last championship.
Oh, nice.
The Kawhi Finals MVP thing. So, you know, I think he was he was happy for me, you know.
And then you guys can, you know, together be happy that the Clippers were out in the second round.
100%. Yeah, absolutely.
So you mentioned Fred's speech after the game, and we talked a little bit about a little bit before. You've kind of gotten to a place where Fred's your guy now, right? Like, you call him your favorite Raptor at this moment?
Well, he is, like, because for me, he, growing up, all right, my favorite team before I could root for the Raptors when I was young was the Bad Boy Pistons, right? Like, okay. That was what, I don't know if it was proximity or, like, I remember growing up at the Video Flicks in St. Catharines, there was this, there's a documentary and like from the 1990, I think, that's about the Bad Boys. It's about their back-to-back championships. I used to rent the VHS cassette like every week and watch it. So my two favorite players growing up were Joe Dumars and Isaiah Thomas. Cause I think I was just because I was short and I felt like they were short. And so, and I played point guard and when I was playing in school. So they were just my guys. And I don't know, in the last 2 years, it just feels like Kyle and Fred are Isaiah and Joe Dumars to me. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Certainly the Dumars level of defense too.
That's what I mean. Yeah. Like, and so Freddie just totally reminds me of Joe Dumars, this like super like stocky little bulldog who has all the confidence in the world, but doesn't sort of act like it really, you know, and just, I don't know. I think his story is really great. Like I love that he is undrafted and I love that he just like made it to a team. And I love that he was integral to our championship run. And I think it really started for me when, you know, that famous where he hits that three in game six and then they show the replay and he just screams at the bench.
Yeah.
And that was with the Band-Aid on his eye. And I was like, yeah, Fred's my favorite player. And then this year he was just so good. And I think he's my favorite player. Like Amir Johnson is my favorite Raptor of all time.
So I was going to ask about that because, you know, something that I remember from way back when was like you played a game of horse against Amir, right?
Yeah, with Amir and Wynn Butler from Arcade Fire. Yeah.
On I think it was Off the Record, right?
With West, yeah. Very strange.
Yes. So obviously you guys went outside of the box a little bit and tried to get Amir singing and stuff. But I'm curious from there, where is your game at right now? Do you still get to play at all? And how do you, you know, I've watched Wynn Butler win a celebrity game MVP before.
Yeah.
How do you hold up on the court with a, maybe not an Amir, but a Wynn Butler?
Well, Wynn is very, 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 very competitive. I don't know if you know that, but he is. So I don't think I would match up very well against him because I think that he would really take advantage of the size difference.
Okay.
And just destroy me in the post. Like I remember I was playing in like this, Matt Bonner used to do this charity basketball tournament in Toronto.
Yep.
And I played in it once cause I'd met him through someone. And it's actually where I met Brent Berry. I've become friends with Brent Berry and he's the best guy ever. But anyways, I remember watching Wynn Butler was there, and I remember watching them, like, they were in a three-point contest against each other. And while Wynn was shooting, Matt Bonner went and got Arcade Fire and put it on the PA to try to psych him out. And it didn't work. And then while Bonner was shooting, I was like, Wynn, what are you going to say to him, like, to try to psych him out or whatever? And he was like, I don't know, ask him if he has a Grammy or not. And I was like, whoa, okay, never mind.
Wow.
But any hoodles, my game's not very good anymore. Like I'm 40 years old and I rarely play, but I can still, I could still D somebody up if I really try to. I don't think I was very good in the first place. You know, I liked defense a lot. I liked passing, you know, I was never really a good shooter. I got a pretty good left hand that surprises people. I don't know why I do. It just is there. I don't think I'm definitely more of just a fan now. I could probably win a free throw contest. I was always good at free throws, but my game's not anywhere near where it was.
Well, if it makes you feel better, neither is mine. So,
okay. Well, that's okay. I think that's okay.
And look, I've played in a tournament with our friend Steve Slatkowski from PUP before, and I'm confident without seeing the recent update of your game that you could at least hang there. So
Yeah, I mean, I could. I feel like if I got asked to play in a game right now, like I could play really well, and then I wouldn't be able to walk tomorrow.
Yeah, that's usually the way it works. Especially, you know, you just said you kind of more on the defensive side, and that's all I do. I'm like, I was a hockey kid coming up, so I didn't touch basketball until like grade 11, maybe. Okay. I am strictly effort and defense.
Yeah, me too. I still have a little bit of a handle, and I can pass. I love passing. So
okay. Well, you're one handle up on me.
Okay. Maybe we need to start. Well, we've got two positions covered then. You're playing power forward, I assume.
Yeah, I mean, I'm 5'10", but yes, power forward is generally where I have to end up playing.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I get those PJ Tucker comparisons, you know?
That's good, yeah. So we need a 2 and a 3, and then, you know.
Yeah. We'll be all right. Yeah, I mean, we can – I don't know how well you know him. I don't know him at all. But we can call in Wynn as our center. And then Max Kerman for Markells can ball. So okay. I think Shad can play a little bit too. Shad can
definitely ball. Me and Shad, when Alexis did the full Warp Tour, I think in 2009 maybe, and Shad shared our bus with us. It was just Shad. Oh, cool. Shad and T-Lo as DJ, and then his old manager, G. And so there was a hoop at a lot of those stops. And so Shad and I would play 2-on-2 against a bunch of the other bands, and we would destroy them.
Nice.
So yeah, Shad's got a great handle, and he's got a good shot too.
Sweet. That's I don't think I've played with Shad. I think Max and Steve are the only ones in that kind of community I've played with. But yes, Max is definitely better than me. I was very surprised. I played against Max. Like, I knew Max a little bit before, but I played against him in Nick Stauskas' charity tournament one time.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, the curly-headed guy from Markells. I could D this guy up. I'll check him.
Yeah.
And he's got a wet jumper, so I won't sleep on Shad, and I just would avoid guarding Wynn Butler altogether.
Yeah.
Steve, though, either one of us will lock down. It's fine.
Okay, so we're going to need Wynn on our team then.
Yeah, we're going to need someone to score. Okay. I mean, someone's got to soak up these possessions.
All right.
Think like Serge Ibaka with the second unit, where Serge gets all the touches he can handle because everyone else is just focused on defense and running out on the break. So
right. What do you think? Do you think they're going to sign Serge or not?
That's what's a little tough right now. You know, I think Fred's the priority because Fred's more of a long-term piece. And I actually had a piece go up at The Athletic today where I talked to our Pistons and our Knicks writers, too, to try to get a feel of what the market might be. And in that exercise, we ended up with Fred coming back to Toronto, so that was nice.
Okay.
And then, you know, Phoenix is the interesting one where they came after him in 2018 and then ended up spending their money on Trevor Ariza instead. And he'd be a good fit next to Devin Booker, but they've got to clear a little bit of cap space or figure out a sign and trade or something like that. So I'd lean toward Fred staying. Serge, I'm less sure of.
Yeah.
I'm in a place where if I'm the Raptors, if he wants to come back on a one-year deal, I'll give him whatever dollar amount he wants. But him at 30 now and the way his defense has kind of slid and looking ahead to, you know, you want that flexibility for 2021 just in case. I'm at a place where he can write his own check for 1 year, but I don't want to go multi-year. How do you feel about those guys?
I'm in the same boat as you. I think the way he played this year, though, he's earned probably one more 3 year deal from some team that just needs output.
Yeah.
And I think he'll go with that unless he really does love the Raps, but the Raps are definitely going to say like, yeah, we'll give you 1 year with whatever money you want or go check it out, you know, but I think they're going to do everything they can to keep Fred because I don't know. They found him, they developed him. He was such an integral part and we've got him to run the team for the next 3-4 years, you know, like, I feel like if the Raps are close, you know, they keep Kyle. But if the Raps aren't close next year, and when I mean close, I mean like it looks like we're gonna, you know, finish eighth or seventh in the East. Like they'll trade Kyle to a contender. Like,
it's a little tough to find a deal that works right now. But those things always pivot so quickly, right?
Exactly. Like, are you telling me that like if say the Lakers are close next year, but they don't have a point guard, like they're not gonna want Kyle Lowry for the playoff stretch?
Yeah, or Miami, Milwaukee. Or Miami. There's the Clippers. There's always teams that, you know, it's and making the money work is just, you know, we saw what happened with Paul George. You throw enough picks at it and you can get anything done.
Exactly, yeah. So I think that, like, you know, as much as there's a couple of talking heads that still don't think Kyle's good, I think the whole basketball world knows that Kyle's really good.
Yeah, he said it to the Hall of Fame. If anyone still doesn't think he's good, yeah. I don't know where you've been, man. I don't know what games you've been watching, what podcasts you've been listening to, what articles you've been reading, but...
Just watch the first 10 minutes of Game 6 of the 2019 NBA Finals. And that's all you need to watch.
Yeah. If you go back and watch the Kawhi shot game, too, that Game 7 against Philly, Kyle doesn't have a big scoring output night, but, like, he's everywhere. He's drawing charges on Joel Embiid and poking balls loose and getting offensive rebounds and stuff. It's incredible. And then the other thing with Fred, too, is, you know, obviously you're a longtime fan and you've kind of latched onto him as, you know, this is your guy. And I think that there are a lot of longtime fans who feel similarly. And from talking to a lot of people who came on board as new fans during the finals run, you know, Fred, obviously you don't want to overpay a guy too much because he's a fan favorite or whatever. But I think, you know, he's maybe outside of Kyle, the most popular guy you've got at this point. So I think, you know, I think a lot of new and old fans identified with Fred in a similar way that you did, Dallas. Dallas, we got to let you go. We gotta wrap this up. I'm just wondering, thoughts ahead of next year. You know, you nailed Raps in six. You had some pretty sharp predictions when we were talking throughout the playoffs. Crystal ball, where do the Raps end up next year?
I think we're right in the mix. You know, I think everybody's talking about how good Boston is and Miami's obviously great and Brooklyn and all that stuff. But like, we didn't play nearly close to how good we are in that Boston series, and we almost won it. So I think if they bring back the core and they're going to make some cool adjustments and cool moves. I know they will, right? They're going to get crafty. Like, I don't know. This, obviously, we can't talk about this, but I read that thing about the Victor Oladipo possibility. I was like, yeah, something like that as a guy coming in as a two there would be great. But I think we're going to be right in it in the East. The East, to me, is still completely wide open, just like it was this year, you know?
For sure. And they've shown for years now that if an opportunity like a Oladipo or a Bradley Beal or whatever comes up, you know, as long as it doesn't, until Giannis signs that Supermax with Milwaukee, they'll be keeping 2021 in mind. But if he does, or if they decide something else is the path, who knows? Joel Embiid could be on the trade market. You never know what's going to happen.
I feel like we have officially entered Spur territory where we became a winner and everybody wants to remain a winner. And I don't mean just the championships. I just mean we want to be in it every year until we're not, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And that's hard to sustain, but that's, you know, that's how you get in those conversations for those free agents and how those trades make sense. Dallas, thank you so much for this, man. This is great. Huge fan of City in Color and Alexis on Fire. So this was really cool to be able to have you on. So thank you so much.
No, thanks, Blake. And nice talking to you, and go Raps.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll get you back on when there's basketball to talk about. Again, you know, our timing trying to set this up wasn't perfect right as the Raptors got eliminated. So
yeah, you know, I've told you, I'm always willing to talk about basketball and especially the Raptors. So
awesome. Well, thanks so much, man. And we'll be back next week, guys. So stay tuned in. Raptors Reasonblist at The Athletic.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.